All right, guys. Well, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we welcome you to Living Hope Baptist Church this fine day. All over the sanctuary, if you have your Bibles with you, whether in printed or digital format, please hold them up over your head. Amen. We love the Word of God here at Living Hope Baptist Church. We make sure that whether I'm preaching or one of our young preachers is preaching, that we always have the Word of God open in our laps in order to keep an eye on the guy preaching up here. Amen?
Amen.
And whenever you travel and you go somewhere and you're visiting in another city and you find your way to church on the Lord's Day, make sure you bring your Bible so that we can make sure that whatever you hear matches what is in the Word of God. If you would, please, as we continue in our current series, turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And we're going to listen to an amazing, amazing thing today. And we're going to be looking at the first seven verses there. As we continue on in this series, today's message is all about being changed through Jesus Christ. I remember those days when I didn't walk with the Lord. And then I listened to the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart and was changed in an instant and received the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And hopefully we can all come to that point in our lives to where we each see that time that we can say, yes, at that time I received Jesus Christ as Lord. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a gospel preaching church here at Living Hope Baptist. If you are there in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, could you please say, Amen.
Amen.
Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, Go, view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all of the country. Then the women took the two men and hid them. So she said, Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up on the roof and hidden them from the stalks, with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. If I get a little bit of light up here on the stage, please. I'm preaching out of the dark here. I have the light of God's word, but the stage lights are down, and so it's a little dark up here. 3, 2, 1. Quite all right. There we go. Is that better? All right. Amen. So, God's Word is good. Amen?
Yes.
And so today, as we come before the throne, as we come before into the house of the Lord, I want to ask you this question. How are people saved? And the answer is by grace through faith.
Amen?
Amen? By grace through faith we have been saved. And this not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Question, how were people saved in the Old Testament? Answer, they were saved by grace through faith. You see, we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe in the fulfilled prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ having come to this world. In the Old Testament, they believed by grace through faith that God would make a way. They believed that the Savior was coming. And by that belief, they were saved. Now, here's another question. Who may be saved? And the answer is anyone. The poor, the rich, the seemingly good, and the desperately wicked. All can be saved. The intelligent can be saved, and the rest of us can be saved as well. Your position in life, your status in the community, has absolutely no impact on whether or not you may be saved. In order to be saved, you must follow God's plan. And God's plan from the start has been to enter into a relationship with us. As we read the Word of God, we see in Genesis chapter 1 and through there in chapter 2, we see that God created everything and it was good. Amen? And if you're like me and you like to read the end of the story and you flip to the back of the Bible and you see that we are restored to the Lord in the end times, and those of us that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and in God's promises are taken to heaven. So the first couple of pages in the Bible, everything is good. The last couple of pages in the Bible, everything is great. But everything in between is the Lord finding a way to get us back. You see, the Word of God is God's love letter to you. The Word of God is God's love letter saying to you, I want you back. You have been stolen from me by deceit. The deceit of Satan and the deceit of our own hearts. Amen? Yeah, I like it when I get an amen on that. I like that. You see, I had to hurry back this morning. I was wandering around down the hall. And I always meet with our prayer team before I take the pulpit. And they always pray for their pastor in there. And I want to make sure I hurried up and got back so that they prayed for me and they weren't praying about me. Amen? If we want to make sure that the pastor takes the pulpit and only the Word of God comes out. We want the things of God's heart to come into your hearts. And so God's plan from the start has been for us to enter into a relationship with Him. God loves us. But how do we partake of that plan? How do we make it to heaven? One of our core passages here at Living Hope Church is John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I made it a point to go and read the original languages. And when I studied all about the grammatical syntax of that verse, and here's what I discovered, is that no one means no one. God doesn't make it a secret. In order to make it to heaven, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking at your notes today, we're going to be getting to the notes in just a moment. You may notice there's one point there. Don't get all excited. You'll notice I don't have my watch on. Don't get all excited about that either. But we're going to preach and teach from the Word of God. And with that groundwork being laid, here are two quick questions. As we look at today's passage, how is Rahab described? What is she described as? Look in verse 1, the last few words there. And came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. A harlot, meaning a prostitute, a loose woman. But what did Rahab become? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, please. Turn in your Bibles. I love seeing the pages of God's Word turn. When somebody gets to Matthew chapter 1 in a paper Bible, please say amen. All right. Reading from the Word of God, the first six verses, about the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading from the book of Matthew, verses 1 through 6. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Friends, Rahab becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David of Judah, of the nation of the Hebrews, of Israel. Jesus Christ was born of the house of David, of the tribe of Judah. When we worship our risen Savior, we are worshiping the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And in Joshua chapter 2, we see how a prostitute, Rahab, the shady lady from Jericho, came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior because of the promises of God. This is a thrilling, exciting story. If you are sitting here in this sanctuary and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I want you to understand that God loves you. He loves you so much He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And for all of our sins. If you're watching on the internet, or you're watching a DVD, or listening to a CD, or an MP3 somewhere from a podcast, I want you to know that if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you can do it today. And it doesn't matter what your background is. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let whosoever will come and drink freely of the water of life." Friends, that tells us that all may come and partake freely of the salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we receive Him as Lord and confess our sins. You see, that is an amazing thing. It doesn't say, you know, you may be sitting there thinking, "Pastor Larry, you don't know how bad I am." No, I don't. But you don't know how bad I was. God knows. And God has made a way for us to get back with Him. And that's through the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I had written down something many years ago in my Bible that I heard somewhere. You know, they say that preachers, the good ones, you know, borrow from other people, and then great preachers steal it outright. You know, and it all comes down to it. Most of us swipe things from the Apostle Paul. But as we look at this, I wrote it down in my Bible, and what it writes, what I wrote down was that nature forms us, sin deforms us, prisons try to reform us, education inform us, but only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can transform us. Amen. And He can transform us in an instant to where we are righteous, and we can stand, and we're justified, and we can stand in the presence of a holy God. Amen? Amen. See, that was a great time for amen. Thank you so much for that. So how was Rahab the harlot transformed and saved by Jesus Christ? In other words, what was the Old Testament way of salvation? And as I said before, the same way as the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, I quoted it earlier, says, "For you have been saved by grace through faith." Amen? Amen. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I quoted a minute ago. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, a misconception about the Old Testament way of salvation was that they kept it by keeping the law. Scripture says that is simply not true. You see, if you look at the screen right now, we'll see in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. And I hope this makes... there you go. Go ahead and find another slide there. Keep going. I think it's there somewhere. Looks like we have the wrong slides here. Everybody turn to the book of Galatians. Everybody turn to the book of Galatians. In the New Testament. Guys, this is my fault. I wanted to share something with you guys this morning. Is that even though I'm a bivocational pastor, and during the week I write I earn my living as a software developer. Did you know that my PC crashed this past week? And it had my PowerPoint on there. It had my sermon notes. It had everything on it. Now, I had some backups of certain things, but the PowerPoint slides that I had changed got changed. And so, what you see here is a result of Pastor Larry trying to fill in the blanks. And that's never a good thing. Galatians chapter 3, if you're there, please say amen. Amen. All right, so in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, reading from the Word of God. "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith." You see, some try to dismiss that because it is New Testament teaching. But Paul is simply quoting Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. So just mark that down in your margin. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. You see, the law does have a purpose. And Paul taught that purpose in the same chapter in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. But look down in verses 24 and 25. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. I want to get you guys excited about the Word of God. "Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." Listen, friends. The law was designed to point us to faith. That's what the purpose of it was. It was never intended to save one, but it was intended to make us aware, to make us conscious of sin. So how were people saved in the Old Testament? Well, fortunately, the answer is found in Scripture. What a surprise, amen? Turn in your Bibles to Romans, the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4, we're going to take a quick peek at verse number 3. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul makes it very clear that the Old Testament way of salvation was by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, we are a Southern Baptist church, and we are a dispensational church, and we're pre-trib, pre-mill, in our belief system of the end times. But there was a very wonderful thing that came out of the Protestant Reformation back in the times of Martin Luther. And they call them the five solas. Okay, the five solas, the five onlys. And these five solas that they discussed, one was a sola scriptura, which is in the Scripture alone. Then it came sola fide, by faith alone. Sola Christos, through Christ alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. And then sola de gloria, for the glory of God alone. We are saved by getting the Word of God, from the Word of God, through faith, through Christ Jesus, by God's grace, for the glory of God Himself. Why does God save me? Why does God save you? For His glory. Amen. You are a walking, talking glory to God when you receive Jesus Christ. I've said so many times that here on this earth that we are in enemy territory. The Apostle Peter said that we are travelers in an alien land. And this territory is controlled by who? Who's the Lord of this world?
Satan.
And what the Lord does is He takes the army of the Lord Jesus Christ and He sends us out into enemy territory. And as He sends us out into enemy territory and He has us share the gospel message to people, when someone receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what we do is we have figuratively grabbed this person that was in the enemy camp. They've received Jesus Christ. They come over to our side and we transport them straight into the King's heaven. Isn't that good? See, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by the way, we can't save anyone, amen? Our job is to do what? To share. What they do with that is up to them. There's a free will matter there. But we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul didn't just think that up. He was quoting Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. And never remember that in that passage talking about Abraham, for it was accounted to him righteousness through his faith, that Abraham lived at least 400 years before the law was given. At least 400 years. Paul then shows that David was saved by faith. If you're still there in Romans chapter 4, skip down to verses 6 through 8. If you're there, please say amen. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. By the way, when you were forgiven of your sins, did you feel blessed? Because you are. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Abraham justified before the circumcision. You see, what an amazing thing that is. What amazing thing it is to be one of the children of God. And finally, right there in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul continues to establish that the Old Testament way of salvation was through faith alone in Romans chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. If you're there, please say amen. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Still talking about Abraham. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Why did Jesus go to the cross? For my sins. I don't know how to process that. I will never get over that. The idea that God would come down and sacrifice himself for me is simply overwhelming. I hope it's overwhelming for you too. You see, when we come here week by week into God's house, some of us think that this is the church. You are the church. Well, Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am also. And so you are the church. But sometimes we wonder about when we come into the house of the Lord. You know, I've been having our young preachers preach on Wednesday nights, and I thank you so much for the wonderful folks that have been coming out and the crowd that we had this past Wednesday. What a blessing it's been as you support these young men. I'm going to be preaching this coming Wednesday, and I'm going to preach on something that you've probably never heard before in your life and all your years in church, pastors accepted, of course. And but when you are about to walk through the back door, when you are about to walk through the door into the sanctuary, what do you think you're actually entering into? When you open your Bible, when you open the Word of God, when you enter into prayer, and you come into the presence of God, what do you think that you are actually entering? I'm going to talk about that this coming Wednesday night. In other words, in Romans 4:22, righteousness is credited to those who have faith in God. Amen? Abraham, David, and each of us all share the same way of salvation. Folks, much of Romans, much of Galatians addresses the fact that there is one way of salvation and only one gospel message. We are saved by faith through grace. You say, Pastor Larry, you're beating a dead horse here. Pastor Larry, you're preaching to the choir. You know what? Sometimes that's how you get the choir to sing. Amen? Amen. The Bible's clear message is that the ones in the Old Testament looked forward to the promised Messiah and believed and were saved like Rahab was. Today we look back upon that. Throughout the Old Testament there were hundreds of promises that the Messiah would save his people from their sins. You know, we look at the book of Job, a book about the terrible suffering of a righteous man. You know, you ever feel like that sometimes, that you've just been unfairly suffering? You know, that suffering seems so unfair to the Christian. It seems so unfair to all of us. Yesterday, Ms. Ruth Ann and I had the distinct honor and privilege of visiting Brother Francis and Ms. Judith in their new home. And we also visited a family friend of ours, Becky and her husband Brian. Those two men are going through very difficult times with their cancers right now. You know, and we can look at that and say, Lord, how can this possibly be fair? These men love you. You know, but we can look at Scripture, amen? We look at the book of Job, Job 19, verse 25. Write that in your margin. That's a good passage for you to have. What did Job write when he was under attack by Satan? When he was under attack by his so-called friends, what I call the three stooges, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. What did Job say? In Job chapter 19 and verse 25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. And that in the end, He will stand upon this earth." See, I know that my Redeemer lives. When things seem unfair, I know that Jesus is coming back. When I'm going through a tough time, I know that Jesus is going back. As the shepherd to the folks in this church, when you're going through a difficult time, I know and I try to make it known to you that Jesus is coming back. And He's going to make everything okay. You know, so clearly the Old Testament saints were aware of the promised Redeemer. And all of God's children said. Amen. Now back to Rahab over in Joshua chapter 2. I want you to think about her situation. She was a pagan living in spiritual darkness. She was a harlot, a prostitute, living in sinful depravity. She was a Canaanite living in the land of God, which He gave to the Israelites, to the Jews, and therefore she is destined for destruction by God's people. Guys, this is a woman that desperately needed God to do something for her. She desperately needed that. And guess what? He does. He does. God comes through for her. Because God always responds to the cry of the lost for salvation. Look through your Bibles. Anyone that ever cried out to God for their salvation received it. God has turned no one away that comes to Him seeking salvation. You see, she, Rahab, and her household were spared. Rahab turns from being a harlot, becomes happily married to, of all people, a prince of Israel. which is a story for another day. I see all the ladies perked up when I said she married a prince. I know some of us have frogs sitting next to us right now. But she goes from outcast to royalty, from Canaanite to an ancestor of the Lord, a human ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Here is a woman who is transformed by the fulfilled promises of God. And wonder of wonder, glories of glories, lifted from such a position. She's a harlot. And later she is mentioned in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. One of the great chapters in all of Scripture. Now how great is that? How awesome is that? Did you know that you are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses yourself? Matter of fact, let me think. Is anyone in here? Is that in your Bible? Did you see in your Bible that she became of the line of Judah and one of Christ's human ancestors? A Canaanite woman living in darkness and depravity transformed into an inheritor of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ, her Redeemer. Amen. What an amazing thing. Guys, our God is simply amazing. So, let's get to at least one point today, right? This part two of this message is going to go on for about 3 weeks. So we see the providence which confronted her. The providence which confronted her. These passages show that these spies show up. They've been sent by Joshua to scope things out before Jericho is destroyed by the judgment of God. It's not by accident that they've come specifically to the house of Rahab. You see, there is something different about Rahab and the other inhabitants of Jericho. Why would these spies go there? What is the difference? We read in this passage that we see in this story that she has a heart that was hungry for the Lord. Is your heart hungry for the Lord? Do you come to church on Sunday morning just to put the notch in your belt? Sunday, church, check. Or do you come to worship and praise the risen Savior? Do you come here and as our praise team sings, and Jamie leads our praise team, and Cliff with the praise band, and Davidson playing so beautifully, and our drummers and all of our instrumental people, are you transported in such a way that you don't notice the singing, but you notice God in your heart? You see, that is our goal. The goal of our praise team and band is that you are transported into the presence of God. The goal of the preacher is that through the reading and the teaching and the edification of the saints through God's Word, that you are transported into His presence and you see His love letter for you. We don't want Brister. We want Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Well, y'all said that amen a little loud there. But there's something different about her. And you never would have known it by simply looking at her current lifestyle at the time of salvation. At the time that she got involved here. I'm sure that each one of us would have just seen the sinner. But friends, God loves the deepest sinner. And so should we. Amen? We don't love the sin, but we should love the sinner. Rahab was a woman that knew she deserved to be judged of God. But what she wanted was the mercy and the kindness of Almighty God. And out of all of the homes in Jericho, out of all of the people in Jericho, the providence of God conformed her, confronted her, and changed her with God's messengers. God's messengers did that. Because the Holy Spirit is always at work in bringing people to Himself. The Holy Spirit is always at work. Have you ever thought about that? How does that happen? Well, first the Holy Spirit starts working in the heart of the sinner. He starts working in the heart. The Holy Spirit uses the circumstances of life to soften that person's heart. If you're sitting here today and you feel that tug at your heart, if you're watching on the internet and you're feeling that tug at your heart, that's the Holy Spirit of God tugging at your heart. That's not you. That's not emotion. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you through His messengers, through the music, through His Word, through the circumstances of your life. And the Holy Spirit does that. And that person becomes hungry for the gospel message, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And around this sanctuary right this moment, That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's doing it over here, and He's doing it over here, and He's doing it over there, and He's doing it in the back of this sanctuary. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's doing it on the internet. He's doing it on DVDs. He's doing it on our blog posts. He's softening the hearts of people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the same time that He does that, the Holy Spirit is taking the Christians here and He's convicting them of what they've been called to do. He's convicting them. He's getting them ready to share God's amazing gospel. You see, there are no accidental meetings between the unsaved and the saved. There are no accidents in those meetings. It is God that masterminds everything. And it is the providence of God where the lost person is confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that if you're listening here today, if you're wherever you're watching, however you are hearing this, you can never ever again for all of eternity say, "I didn't know." You've been told there's salvation found in none other but in the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach right off my notes. There are no accidental meanings. Friends, it's the providence of God that the lost person is confronted. You know, in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch meets up with the Apostle Philip in the middle of a desert. Really? They meet up in a desert? That sound like an accident to you? No. The Holy Spirit, by the providence of God, said, "Philip, I want you to go out to the desert." And He transported him there. By the way, Philip was at a revival meeting where he was the evangelist. He was the preacher. And the Lord transported him out into the desert. At the same time, God was working in the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch who was studying a Bible, but he didn't understand it. It's no coincidence that the eunuch was confronted by the providence of God placing a Bible teacher right in front of him. What about you? Have you ever been at home and had visitors come over? And a person that's a lost person that you've been trying to get to come to church or you share the gospel with, they pick up a Bible in your house? Do you really think that's an accident? That God has them pick up your Bible in your house and they may be wondering about what's in there and He has you right there? What do you suppose you're supposed to do then? Other than be Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch at that moment. What about the Roman centurion Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? I have no idea where he got his hunger to know God because he certainly had no Bible. It's not recorded in Scripture. But one night, perhaps, Cornelius looked up to the heavens and said, "That did not just happen." What does the psalmist say? "The heavens declare the glory of God." And he probably said, "God, whoever you are, I want to know you." Now listen, friends. When the human heart cries out to God, God will move heaven and earth to get the gospel to him because his heart is prepared. In Acts chapter 10, verse 3, God sends Cornelius some angels to speak to him. I read that and I go, that's in that Bible. Angels were sent to speak with him. And the angels tell him to send some men to a specific city and bring back a specific person. Lo and behold, it happens. And Cornelius, through Simon Peter coming, a pagan soldier is saved by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, what am I saying? Here we go, you guys. Ready? Look, I'm getting ready to wrap this up. The same Lord that brought those spies to the house of Rahab the harlot. The same Lord that brought Philip to the biblically ignorant Ethiopian church. The same Lord that brought Peter to the pagan Roman centurion Cornelius is the same God that is at work here today at Living Hope Church in Coral Springs, Florida. That is the same God. Amen? Amen. Meaning that right now, the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts and lives of the people in this city. We are not Living Hope Baptist Church in Coral Springs, Florida by accident. And God has the Holy Spirit working throughout this city. People, maybe at this very second, God is at work through the circumstances of their life. They're in financial trouble. Or maybe an automobile accident or a fender bender. And people are crying out to God. Surely, There's a God that can help me. Maybe the blessings of a new baby right this moment over in Coral Springs Hospital, where the father looks down, the mother looks down and says, only a God could do this. Amen. Only God can do this. You see, I have no idea how it's at work right now. But the Holy Spirit is at work preparing hearts. And at the very same time, the Holy Spirit, while He's working on the lost, He's working on Christians as well. Do you know why? God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Maybe you didn't get that. God wants to use you. You are an integral part of God's plan. Now, let me ask you a quick question here. We're back over here in Joshua chapter 2. I'm about to wrap this up. Do you know why the Lord used those two spies the way He did? Look at verse 16 in chapter 1. If you're there, please say amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 16. I need somebody to say amen that has a paper Bible. Amen. Way to go. When I said this was over, some people put their Bibles away. Don't do that. Pastor Larry's going to get you. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 16. Look at what the Word of God says here. So they answered Joshua saying, all that you commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. What was the secret? You ready? You ready for your nugget this week? What was the earth-shattering, scriptural, theological, biblical secret? They were available. They were willing to do what God wanted them to do. Listen to me, folks. God is not looking at your ability here today. God is looking at your availability.
Amen.
We are not to be the keepers of the aquarium. We are to be the fisher of men.
Amen.
When you leave here today, you're going to have the opportunity to share the gospel somewhere. It might be on the street. It might be at lunch. It might be the waitress that you are going to lavishly tip when you go out to lunch today. Friends, if you get a bad meal, she didn't cook it. Bless the waitress if you go out to lunch. God is looking for your availability. God is looking for people who simply say, Lord, if you want, please, here am I. Use me. Send me. Lord, this week when I go to the water cooler at work, use me. Send me someone to share the gospel with. Lord, when I stop to get some gas on the way home today, use me. Send me someone to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. Lord, I know that somewhere in this city of 125,000 people, you have already planned someone to come into my life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. Lord, make me, I am available. Just reveal to me who they are. I'm here to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, if that person is sitting to me right now, whether it's in this sanctuary or on the internet or driving in your car, Lord, if that person is sitting next to me right now this morning, then Lord, please use me. Use me, Lord. Because Lord, if you use me, I will pray for them. I'll walk with them as they receive Jesus Christ. I'll be your messenger. I'll be your warrior. I'll be your soldier. And all God's people said,
amen.
Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. I end this message as I end each message every week. May the grace of God and the peace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be with each and every one of you today. And all of God's people said,
and it's true. Don't look at that person who ends up next to you and say, that person is way too different from me. I could not invite him to my church. I can't have my friends see me bringing this guy in. We need to see others as Christ sees them, with a holy compassion for the lost. You know what? We all need God, no matter what the person looks like, or how different they are from you. As Christians, we are responsible to reach out to those around us. Their eternity depends on it. We need to stop worrying about the opinions of others. We need to open our eyes. New opportunities are put in front of us every single day. To come out of our comfort zone, open our mouths, and speak these simple words.
Hey man, if you're not doing anything this weekend, check this out. We're doing something cool at our church. So.